Well, good morning. Merry Christmas season. Like I said earlier, we are so incredibly excited that you guys are here with us as we start this brand new Christmas series that we are calling Travel Light. And over the course of the next several weeks, as we head towards Christmas Eve, every single week of this series is going to acknowledge this fact in every single one of our lives. That we are on this journey called life. And throughout this journey through life, we find ourselves on multiple journeys along the way. For many of us right now, we find ourselves in this journey through marriage or a journey through parenting. For some of us in this room, we are journeying through young adulthood or high school or middle school. We're trying to figure out what this journey looks like through a holiday season in which we find ourselves smack dab in the middle of a pandemic. And what I know about my own life, and maybe you can acknowledge this about yours too, is that at every journey we take through life, we have this uncanny ability to accumulate unwanted baggage in our lives. And as we accumulate that unwanted baggage, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of difference in our lives and in every journey of our life when we walk through the seasons of life in which things feel normal, if that's possible. In which things aren't terribly chaotic. But in the moments of our lives in which we feel stressed and overwhelmed and overbooked, those are the moments in which this unwanted excess baggage begins to become a drain in our lives. That it begins to weigh us down and it begins to take hold in our lives and it begins to move us in a direction in which we never wanted to go. And if we were all being honest with ourselves, as much as we love Christmas, there may not be a season or a holiday on the calendar in which those three words are better encompassed. That so often our Christmases are stressful and chaotic and overbooked. And the reality is that as we journey through seasons in which we feel stressed out, in which we feel overwhelmed, in which we feel overbooked, and we are carrying this extra baggage, this unwanted baggage in our lives, there is this tendency that tends to happen in our lives, and that is that that excess baggage at some point comes spewing out. The baggage of hurt, the baggage of grudges and unforgiveness, the baggage of regret, the baggage of junk, that at some unwanted moment of our holiday season, that unwanted baggage spews out on the people we love most. It may be in the moment in which that one in-law says the same thing about your cooking that they have been saying for the past 14 Christmases, and you just can't take it anymore, and your baggage spews all over them. It's the moments where it's 12:30 on Christmas Eve night and all the gifts still aren't wrapped and you don't even feel like you've gotten the perfect gift for your kids and the baggage comes spewing out on your spouse. It's the moments where your kids have been in virtual learning for the last month and you have had to put up with them every single day for every waking hour and they're still off the wall and they're still crazy and you can't take it for another second. It's the moments of your life where you encounter those that you love and you've had it up to here and that excess baggage that you've been carrying around in your life, be it unwanted or not, has a tendency to just come out. But this series is a reminder of the benefits of traveling light. It's a reminder in our lives that we have the ability to shed some of that unwanted baggage, and we have an ability to travel through the journey that we presently find ourselves on in a much healthier way. Now, some of y'all can relate to this in your life. Not that many years ago, I look back on my marriage and my life and my traveling habits. And what I find is this, is that when it was just Krista and I, and we were just a married couple without any kids, that going on a journey and the packing process of that journey was a much simpler process. To this day, Krista and I still, for every trip we take, we still pack all of our stuff. It's like we can find a way to cram it in into little Nike duffel bags. That's what we pack in. And when it was just the two of us, we would throw those in the back of the SUV. And it's like, man, look at all the room we've got. We can buy a bunch of stuff or bring home a 60-inch TV if we wanted to. And my mom can attest to this. She was in the first service. But I still remember every Thanksgiving, we would take a trip to South Carolina to visit my brother and his family. And I would get so upset when my mother would come out of her door. We're going for 3 days. My mother would come out of the door and she would wheel this suitcase that, no joke, was like up to the middle of my chest out. And I'm like, what do you have in there for 3 days? You're like taking a body with you, or you're taking the dog in there, or what in the world is going on? And then in an instant, my mindset and our ability to travel light changed. The moment that kids entered the picture, that was gone. Because now when we prepare to go on any trip, and some of y'all, you're like, my kids are grown, and I kind of forget about what that stage looks like when we had babies or multiple toddlers in the house. It's like, we got to get pack and plays, and we got to get fans because they're used to sleeping with fans, and we got to get 100 diapers, and we got to get several packs of wipes, and we got to pack all their clothes, and we got to make sure that we have excess of everything just in case there's a blow up and just in case they make a mess. And we pile it in the car, and it's that moment of like, I can no longer see out of the rear view mirror. It is completely packed all the way to the ceiling in the back of the SUV. And then the kicker is this. This past summer, Krista and I, we took the boys on their very first trip to the beach. And we got this brilliant idea that we're going to make the trip a whole lot simpler. And what we're going to do, instead of doing 12 hours all at once, we're going to break up the trip. And we want to have a little bit of time with our kids at the beach without the rest of the family there. And so we left a few days early and we drove about 6 hours and we stayed in a hotel. And then we drove another 6 hours to the beach and we got a hotel on the beach so that we could go to the beach for the first time with our kids before we could move into the house and the rest of the family came. But what I recognize is when we stopped at the very first hotel, it was like, hey, can you bring out 4 of those wheelie cart things? Because we're going to load these babies up and we got to take it all into the hotel room. And then the worst part was not the unpacking that took forever to get it up to your room, but it's like somehow you had this intricate puzzle process in which everything went in and you fit it the first time you put it in. But then you check out of the hotel and you go to put it back in. And it's like, this is not all going to fit. I don't know how it fit the first time. Whose luggage did we pick up in the hotel room? But this ain't all going in this time. And not only was it an hour process unpacking, but it was a 2-hour process packing everything back up. And we did it 2 times in each hotel as we went along the way. And what I quickly realized, and this pertains not just to our traveling habits, but also to our lives, is this, is there is nothing convenient about excess baggage. There is nothing easy about carrying more than what is needed in our lives. And the acknowledgement of that truth, this series, week in and week out, will come back to a reminder about our life, a reminder about the season that we are walking through, a reminder about what Christmases should look like, that our lives are so much better when we have more of what matters and less of what doesn't. Our lives are so much better when we have more of what matters and less of what doesn't. And when it comes to the accumulation of all the wrong things on this journey that we are on, one of those things that just adds baggage in our lives and in our holidays is this thing called distractions. I mean, when we honestly look at our lives and the season in which we are presently living, what we are all forced to acknowledge is this truth, no matter how much we hate it, no matter how bad it feels. Have you ever noticed how difficult it is in this day and age to stay focused? Have you ever noticed almost how impossible it is to find even a moment of silence in the world in which we live? Because it's like distraction is strapped to us, like literally strapped to us. It's like we have everything that we need in our pocket or literally strapped to our wrist. That at any moment within a finger's reach is any piece of information, needless or not, that we could ever want to access. And every sports score and every news update and every political jargon that goes on in this world is constantly right there before us. And that doesn't even scrape the surface of that giant black box that's sitting in every single one of our living rooms right now. That's like, man, I can hop on and find anything I want on Netflix or Amazon Prime. And if I'm watching Cobra Kai one night and I miss The Amazing Race, I can just catch it on demand the next day. And then we have these little baggies that we carry with us to and from work every day. And we pull this little black thing out of it and we open it up. And there our work can go with us wherever we need it to go. And at any moment of our lives, 5 minutes during nap time, an hour after the kids go to bed, bed. We can access our work and anything we want right there at our fingertips. You see, our lives are constantly filled with distractions. And distractions are simply this. I wanted us to have something that we could grasp onto, something that made it tangible and real. You see, the word distractions is derived from a Latin word that literally means this. It is a pulling apart, a separating, a drawing of the mind in different directions. And when it comes to the distractions in our lives and in the season we are presently in, and consistently throughout our Christmases of the past, the crazy part is that we have an enemy who wants to distract us from living for what matters most. The scary part is that we have an enemy who would like nothing more than to pull us away from the things in our life that should be most important. An enemy who wants to separate us from the relationships that are most pressing in our lives. We have an enemy who would like nothing more than to draw our mind away from what matters most and what's best in our relationship with God, in our own physical health, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our finances, etc., etc., etc. You see, oftentimes in this journey through life that we walk through, what we oftentimes miss is that the devil has absolutely no intention and just downright destroying you and I, and just downright destroying our marriages or our parenting or our finances. No, he is far more trickier than that. He is far more subtle than that. You see, what I believe with all of my heart is that our enemy, the devil, is so good that he isn't interested in destroying you. He doesn't need to destroy you if he can simply distract you. He doesn't need to destroy you if he can simply distract you. Because what our enemy understands is this. Distraction always leads to destruction. It's just the much more subtle approach. It's the approach that makes it look like you're doing it to yourself. It's the approach that's a slow burn along the way. That you don't even know you are distracted or that it's wreaking any havoc in your life until it's far too late. Until you get 10 years down the road and you look back and you wonder what happened. You wonder why you don't know your spouse. You wonder why you wasted opportunity after opportunity to invest in your marriage. And here you sit in a bed being married for 20 years and you don't even really know the person you're sleeping with every single night. You see, the enemy understands that the way to destroy our lives and the most important and the best things in our lives is not to just downright destroy them, but to simply distract us every step along the way. And that very thing happened over 2,000 years ago when the Savior of the world, the Son of God, came to this earth as a baby. He put on flesh and blood, and he grew into a man. And he began to teach about something that was different than anyone in the Jewish culture had ever heard. He began to present this upside down faith that gave value and worth to every human being. He began to present something in the lives of the people around him that was unlike anything a Jewish rabbi had ever taught. And he associated with people that Jewish rabbis weren't supposed to associate with. In the midst of all of that, the people around him slowly became accustomed to living life in a way in which you and I slowly become accustomed to living as well. That it became commonplace for them to live their lives in such a way that they were more interested in doing things for him than doing life with him. You ever found yourself there before? That in our lives and the chaos and the overbooked seasons, that it becomes far easier to just live our lives seeking what we can do for God instead of having relationship with God. And that very thing happened in the life of a young woman named Martha, who one day had the Son of God come up and rap on her door. And can you just imagine with me, like just think about your own Christmas parties, in which people that you don't even like that much are coming over to your house, and the frenzy that ensues trying to get your house clean and the meal done and everything perfect for them. Can you imagine if out of nowhere, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, comes up and walks into your house? Can you imagine the frenzy that would ensue? Like, if you're anything like me, you're like, honey, can you go distract him for a second? And I'm going to go, like, throw everything into this closet and don't open the door. And I'm getting the best meal that I possibly can in the quickest time frame. And I got to make sure that I'm the best entertainer possible. And this is the very thing that Martha found herself engaging in, that she lost sight of doing life with the Son of God at the expense of doing things for the Son of God. And in the midst of that, and all of the distractions, and all the stress, and all the chaos, what we find on the other side of the equation is a life that was void of the baggage of distraction. A life that knew what was best and most important. This morning we pick up this story in the book of Luke, chapter 10. If you haven't done so already, this is a perfect opportunity for you to grab your weekly. It's what you got when you came in this morning. And if you crack that open, what you'll find is a notes page on the inside. You can follow along with us as we move through the text. There's even some spots where you can fill in the blank and some things that'll help you as you move through this holiday season and all the distractions that come with it. But here is what we see happening in this story, starting in verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and she said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work?" And some of y'all, you're sitting there and what you recognize is that you've been in this exact same position, right? That every single family represented in this room has a Mary, has someone where you're like, why am I doing all the work while my brother or my sister just sits on their duff the entire time? And if you're sitting there and you're saying, my family doesn't have one of those, every family has one of those. Understand what I'm saying? It's probably you. But here, Martha says, doesn't this seem unfair that I'm doing everything and she's not doing anything? That I'm doing all this work for you and all she wants to do is spend time with you? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details." And when we look into the Greek for those two words, worried and upset, there are words like stressed and overwhelmed and concerned and distracted. With all of these details, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. You see, for many of us in this room, if we've grown up in church, we've heard that very story 100 times. In fact, about a month ago, I took a snippet of that story and we talked about it. But as I was reading that story this week, there was this new part that stuck out to me, this new epiphany that I don't know that I had ever recognized before in this story. That when Jesus confronts Martha and he says, whoa, Martha, you're missing the point here. You're missing the mark in what you're doing and in how you're living. There is never a mention from Jesus of, Martha, you're making all the wrong choices. You're choosing a whole bunch of bad things. Martha, you're giving into a whole bunch of temptations. Jesus never says that. He doesn't say, Martha, you're doing bad things. No, he says, Martha, you're just simply losing sight of what's most important in the chaos. You've chosen good at the expense of great. And you see, oftentimes in our lives and in our holiday seasons, what we must understand, the perspective that must change, is that in our lives, in our Christmases, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our finances, the most difficult choices will not be between what is good and what is bad. The most difficult choices will be between what is good and what is best. We think the quality of our life, the quality of our parenting, the quality of our marriages, and maybe even the quality of our holiday season will be judged by whether or not we can choose between what's good and what's bad in our life. But that's very rarely the case. Things drift off course when we consistently choose what's good over what's best. And we've been trained to believe that, man, there's nothing wrong with saying yes to a whole bunch of good things, as long as I'm not saying yes to a whole bunch of bad things, and I'm not doing that. So I'm good, my life's on track. But what we oftentimes miss is when we choose good over great, when we choose good over most important, just a 1 degree deviance from what's most important in our life begins to swell and grow into a much bigger deal over time. That on day one, just a 1 degree deviation isn't that big of a deal. But in year 10 of our marriage, in year 18 of our parenting, we look back and we see, oh my goodness, I've created this giant fissure between me and my wife. There is this gap between me and my kids. And it's happened all along the way, not because I chose something bad, but because I didn't choose what was best. Because I was distracted from what was most important. We turn around and we wonder what happened to our marriage. We haven't done anything terrible. It's just that all along the way, we found distraction in the moments in which we should have been engaging in conversation. We should have been listening better. We should have been going out with our spouse and making them a priority in our life. We turn around and we wonder what happened to our kids' childhoods. And we weren't the parents that were flying away on business trips every single weekend, but what happened? It feels like we've missed so much. And maybe it's just simply because we've missed so much. You see, there's an opportunity that presents itself this Christmas. An opportunity for us to stop looking at the quality of our life through our decisions between good and bad and start recognizing that the quality of our life, wherever we sit, middle school, high school, young adult, married couple, kids out of the house, whatever stage of life you are in, there's an opportunity for us to move from what's good to what's best, from what's good to what's most important. But the question every week is this: how do we do that? How do we begin to differentiate between what's good and what's best? And how do we begin to take steps in the right direction and changing our practices and changing the habits of our lives? How do we get practical in this area of our lives to begin to eliminate the excess baggage of distractions in our life? And this morning, I believe with all of my heart that there are these three easy for us to say, a little bit more difficult for us to implement. These three simple steps that if we begin to move in this direction and implement these things into our life, our marriages, our parenting, our Christmas season, our life begins to drastically change, not just now, but for every Christmas, for the rest of our lives. But what are those steps? You see, in order for us to choose what's best, the first decision we must make and the first tangible step we must take is this. We must take the step of diminishing the distractions. There's this incredible moment where Paul, a missionary who writes a majority of the New Testament, he's speaking to the church in Corinth and he's coming to them about their marriages and how you invest in your spouse and how you love your spouse well. And in the midst of all that, he gives all of these instructions and he can just imagine. The church in Corinth is like, oh, you're giving us all these rules again. Here we go. Back to the Jewish faith again. Everything's about rules. And Paul says, whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on. You're missing why I'm giving you all of these things, why I'm asking you to shift your focus and shift your perspective. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul writes this: I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best. And then he has this final moment that ties the bow with as few distractions as possible. It's like Paul is saying, man, you can't give everything you want to give to your spouse. You can't give everything you want to give to your kids. You can't give everything you want to give to your relationship with God if you are constantly giving in to distractions. The best life you can live is done with as few distractions as possible. Do you know that studies show that the average person is incapable of going more than 10 minutes without checking their phone? Do you know that studies also show that the average person spends approximately 2 hours per day on social media? Do the math on that. Do you know how crazy that is? Do you know what that equates to? 2 hours of every day is 1/12 of every single day. That means that in every year, the average human being spends one whole month of their year on social media. It means that in every 12 years of your life, you have spent one full year engaged in social media. And hear me out on this, because I want to be loud and clear. There is nothing wrong with social media. There is nothing wrong with your phone. There is nothing wrong with your smartwatch. But the thing that we must ask ourselves is, in this moment of our lives, in this season, in this opportunity that is before me with my wife or with my kids or with my God, is it the most important thing? Is it the best thing that I can be engaged in? Because here's what I believe with all of my heart, and I want you to hear this loud and clear. I believe with all of my heart that your life is too valuable and your calling too important for you to miss out on what matters most. Your life is too valuable and your calling too important for you to spend your life on the things that don't matter most. But to do this, we must start being intentional about treating our distractions like we should be treating our temptations. Then, in order for us to rid ourselves of the temptations we so often get into, what's necessary? We must create distance between ourselves and the temptations. It's the reason why King Solomon, one of the wisest men to ever walk on the earth, he's giving advice to his sons, and he's looking back on the mistakes of his past and the temptations with women that he's given into, and he offers this advice to his sons when it comes to the women they will encounter in their lives who are not their spouse. King Solomon says this: you should stay away from her. Don't even go near the door of her house. That if you don't want to give in to these things, you have to begin to separate yourself from them. And you're saying, Ben, I don't even know what that looks like. Well, for every single one of us, it's going to look a little bit different. But for some of us, it may simply look like this. It may look like intentionally leaving your phone in the house when you go out into the backyard to play with your kids. It may look like investing in a pair of noise-canceling headphones when there's something important that you need to get done in your job. It may look like deleting an app or two off of your phone. Then in this season of my life, Candy Crush can go, or Instagram needs to go. And I'm one of those people who are investing 2 hours of my day on social media. And it's not that social media is bad. And I'm good with investing 20 or 30 minutes a day, but I'm not going to get there unless I just drop it for a season and come back and get things right. For some of us, it's the decision in our lives to select particular times of the day in which we turn off the notifications on our phone or on our smartwatch. For some of us, it's the decision to recognize that we are dating a distraction. Hold on for a second. But the things he's asking you to do are keeping you from serving others and serving God in a way in which you know you are being called to. But the things that person is asking you to do sexually is distracting you from the sexual in your marriage. And in our lives, we need to diminish the distractions, and we need to delete the app and let God upgrade it. Hello. If we want to do what's most important and live the best life possible, the step we must take first is to get rid of some of the distractions in our life. And here's the cool part. When we begin to diminish the distractions and create distance, it frees up margin for us to then invest that time into focusing on what's important. To focus on the important in our lives, in our marriages, in our finances, in our parenting, in our schoolwork, whatever it may be, for us to focus on those things. It's the reason why just a few verses before that, King Solomon writes this: you should look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on that safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. You see, most difficult goals in life are achieved how? By keeping your eyes on the prize. Maybe I'm the only one who has done this, but just the other day, I was driving down the road and I looked over to the field off to my right and there were like 9 deer over in the field. And I was like, oh my goodness, you never see that many deer all together at once, just standing there together. And I was looking at them and I was like, I got to repeat this story. So I got to count how many deer are there. And as I was consistently looking off to the right of my car, what happens? Y'all been there before? Like when you look off to the left and you look off to the right, what happens to your car? Over time, it naturally drifts the way in which you're looking, right? And it's like, curb, back onto the road. It's the reason why many of us, if not all of us, drive best when our eyes stay on the road ahead of us. It's the reason why when we're trying to cross that narrow, rickety, broken down bridge, the best advice that's given is, no matter what you do, don't look down. Why? Because the very moment that we look down, what happens? We begin to focus on the imminent doom that awaits us when this rickety narrow bridge falls down into the valley below us and we become paralyzed. We forget about the goal and the possibility and the capability of getting across to the other side as quickly as we possibly can. And we stand there shaking, looking around, stuck in the middle of the bridge we shouldn't be stuck in the middle of. It happened to Peter when he swung his legs over the edge of the boat. When he kept his eyes focused on God, what happened? He did the impossible. He did what no other regular human being has ever done in all of time. He walked on water, but the very moment that he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to look at the waves and the wind beneath him and around him, what began to happen? He started to sink. And I don't know about you, but I can look at my life and I can look at the Christmases of my past. And what I find is that there are far too many moments in which it feels like I am sinking. And maybe the reason in which we sink is because we've taken our eyes off of what is most important. We've lost sight of what is best on the altar of what's good. And in our lives, we have to realize that you never wander into righteousness. You never stumble into effectiveness. It takes intentionality. It takes hard work. It takes recognizing the things that should be important and then investing in those things. See, the Christmas season for many of us is all about gifts. And this Christmas, we have an opportunity in our marriages, in our finances, in our parenting, in whatever stage of life we find ourselves in, we have an opportunity to give ourselves a gift, to give our spouses a gift, to give our kids a gift that drastically improve our lives from this day forward. But in order for us to do that, it requires us to acknowledge the areas in our life in which we need to be better at investing in them. The things that we must do in our lives in order to bring about more benefit. You see, as I thought about that this week, there were some things that immediately came to mind in my life and in the journey that I presently find myself in. Some things that this Christmas I need to gift myself and I need to gift my spouse and I need to gift my kids by pouring into them and by stuffing them full of the things that matter most. Things that just a couple of years ago were so often taken for granted. But a couple of years ago, before kids were a part of the picture, it was no big thing for any time Krista and I wanted to. We could go out with one another and we could do date night and we could go to the movies and we could go out to eat and we could drop everything in an instant and we had no worries to go do that. But in an instant, kids come onto the scene and it's like we can't even sit down on our couches and it's like 40 seconds into a serious conversation that we need to have before somebody's yelling from the other room, "Mommy, I just pooped my pants. I need help." Or we turn around in the kitchen and one of our kids has got the butcher knife out. And I know y'all are going to call parent services on us, but you've been there before. Come on. And in those moments, we never have time to really invest in each other. And our kids have heard us say this, and they've seen us kissing in the kitchen, and we've said to them, "Hey, what we need you to know is this. You aren't the most important thing in our life. You're like, Ben, that's cruel. No, it's what God intended. You will never be the most important thing in my life. Mommy was here first, and mommy will always be first in my life. But what I recognize is that my kids this Christmas, my kids in this journey, don't just need to hear it. They need to see it lived out. My wife needs to understand that this is a priority and that we're going to figure out a way consistently to make this happen, to pour into this, to give this gift to ourselves and our marriage and our health spiritually. Yes, your marriage contributes to your spiritual health. Physically, yes, your marriage contributes to your physical health, mentally, emotionally, in our lives. This is a gift that we must say is important and invest in it. That for us, in order for us to live out our calling and what we feel like God is asking of us, that this Christmas season, we must be willing to invest in the gift of irrational generosity. When we roll up in a restaurant and there's a young waitress or a single mom waitress, that we bless them with a tip that's over and above anything that they could expect. Or part of irrational generosity around the holidays is, what does spontaneous generosity look like? There's someone we know in our lives that we love that's in need, and their Christmas just isn't going to look right or isn't going to look the same, or they need bailed out. And what does it look like without a thought to be able to slide a $500 or $1,000 check across the table to be able to bless them? And to be irrational in the way in which we are generous to the people and the world around us. That in our lives, we need to be willing, and me personally, to give myself the gift of a planned day of rest. That this is a day, no matter how difficult it is a day off, is a day in which I have to fight the temptation of picking up the computer, of doing a little bit here, a little bit there, of picking up the phone and fixing things. That I have to get to a place in which I'm capable of saying, sorry, that's important, but it's going to have to wait, 8 hours until the morning. That this is a planned day in which I'm investing and I'm pouring into for the sake of what's best, not what's good. And this one I made the smallest because I like it the least and I don't really want to do it. And I need to be more intentional with the gift of meaningful conversations. To recognize that there are moments that will present itself along this season and throughout this journey, in which there are conversations that need to be stopped, in which I need to value people over performance, in which I need to actually listen to my wife and not try to fix everything, in which my coworkers and the staff here on church need me to stop and need me to have conversations that don't revolve around just always getting the job done. That there are ways in which I need to invest and stop and have meaningful conversations in a way in which it might be a little bit uncomfortable, but in a way in which it signifies this is what is best. And I'm going to choose that. So this Christmas starts my life and my future in a way that's drastically different than my past. And then last, not only do we diminish the distractions and find a way to focus on the important, but lastly, we must make it a priority to listen to the voice of God. To listen to the voice of God. And we listen to it and we take direction from it first. It's the reason why Isaiah wrote this. He's saying this to the Jewish people. This is the step you must take if you want to get your life back on track. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. That when we listen to the voice of God first, he directs us. He shows us when to make a turn. He shows us how to stay on course towards what's most important. It's the reason why in Matthew, we get the direction of seek his kingdom first. And all this will be added to you. It's not that all of those other things aren't important, but we have a God who loves us so much that says, if you just listen to my voice first, I love you enough that I want to point you in the direction of what's best. I want to point you in the direction of what's most important in your life. I want to help you have a healthier marriage. I want to help you be a healthier parent. I want to help you in your finances. And I know there are all these distractions, and those distractions won't go away. But if you simply listen to me first, it's not that those things are bad. It's just that those things were meant to be second or third or fourth. When you listen to me first and give me the first part of your life, the first part of your day, the first part of your month, the first part of your finances, the first part of your attention, the first part of your ear, that's when you begin to hear me directing you into life and life that's lived in the full. That's how much God loves us. Wouldn't you rather listen to that than all the other distractions that present itself this Christmas season? You see, the turning point in our Christmases and in every other facet of our lives will be our ability to start trading what's good for what's best. And to recognize the devil, he doesn't want to destroy you if he can simply distract you. But this Christmas, this moment, is an opportunity in our lives to start traveling lighter. It's an opportunity for us to get rid of the distractions. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, God, we thank you for what a good God you are. God, we thank you for loving us unconditionally, for loving us beyond measure, for loving us in a way in which you desire to point us towards what's best, towards what's most important. You desire to give us instruction on how to keep our lives on track and how to not end up in a place where 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, we look back and we wonder what happened. I don't think I did anything really bad. To see, well, maybe we didn't. We just didn't do what was best. We let the distractions close in and grab our attention. But God, may this be the Christmas. In the midst of the chaos and the stress and being overbooked, in the midst of a holiday, in the midst of a pandemic, God, that we have an opportunity to change things for the better, but only if we are willing to take the hard steps, diminishing the distractions and focusing on what's important and listening to you first. God, this Christmas, my prayer is that we can slowly get rid of the unwanted baggage and we can finally start traveling just a little bit lighter. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.